Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Dear listeners, welcome to Table Set Yourself episode number 5. I stand here in my parental house because I always like to go there, come here to see my parents and friends that live here on the weekend. So I can feel grounded. I feel a little more grounded here than in my communal house, the international shared house over there, which is close to here, only some kilometers away. And I came here today before you, dear listeners, to speak my mind and clarify a few things, and also to I don't know what, mir was von der Seele reden oder mich um Kopf und Kragen reden. This is wonderful. Exactly. Im Kopf und Kragen. I might say too much and around head and collar. But now this is not the, this. This is not this. The translation. Sorry, people, for this slow start here, and I'm gonna catch up and take on take some velocity. But I'm here in this parental house of my parents. I'm not in my usual environment, therefore I need a little more time to get myself up, get myself rolling, speaking, to unroll the thread of the discourse. Yes, sich um Kopf und Kragen reden, risk one's neck with careless talk. Exactly, that's what I feel, that I talk a lot and maybe a little carelessly, and I'm risking a lot, it seemed to me. Yeah, especially with this episode from 3 months ago that I published just now, a couple of days ago. Now, we gotta talk about that and try to clarify whatever there is to clarify. This episode was TSY number 2. Was the number and the title "Save the Lives, Not the Land." But, and here I don't even know what to talk, what to say. It's just, when I recorded this episode, there was this girl I felt enchanted by in the office. She was there and was like provoking me. Yeah, I had this impression. We were ignoring each other for several days or weeks, and she was talking to another coworker, but in a tone that I thought, oh my God, what is she saying to her? Talking Ukrainian to another Ukrainian coworker there, and I was thinking, well, this. Somehow this is a provocation against me. She's talking to her, but maybe she's aiming at me and wants to, I don't know, humiliate me, tell me that, only this other coworker now is worthy of her words, and she won't come to me and talk to me. But yeah, therefore I felt provoked, and I felt all this strength to get it out and say, I'm the biggest podcaster in the universe, and this part was so essential. Now, I felt after publishing, this was so great. Only this one sentence, solely expressing that I want to be the biggest and the greatest podcaster in the universe, because I felt I had to be. Because what can you really do? How can you demonstrate to a person that you are truly a special person? You have to do something speak up, put those words up, even if you're shy like me and you still wait another 3 months until publishing it. But yeah, still, this is exactly the theoretical field I'm aiming at today. That the discourse is what makes one strong. And therefore, I also said in this episode, TSY number 2, that it's my source of manlyhood. And this, I think, is nothing bad. Talking about manlyhood in general. Earlier in my life, I would have said, oh no, I don't want to be a man, I don't want to be like this, manly or whatever. But just thinking about this reactionary role models in today's society, that still men are like the great speakers, they're the ones who are talking shit, and and a girl is more restrained because she's told so by society to be ladylike or girl-like and say, yeah, I know a girl shouldn't talk like this or shouldn't use bad words, and a girl is really a being that is gentle and very subtle but also weak. And this is a problem with the stereotype. It puts girls and women in a weak place, and therefore we can't accept this as a progressive thinkers, as feminists, and we have to change those role models and behaviors. And yeah, therefore also it's good, I think, to mention the podcast as a source of manlyhood. But of course I recommend this to every girl who feels like it could be also her talent, her treasure, or worth her time. As Adam likes to say, no gender, time, treasure, talent. Yeah, if a girl feels that, she should totally pick up the mic and make a podcast. And that's what I'm encouraging, because there's still so much missing. It's like totally the same way, like with the southern nations or the third world nations or poorer nations, also like Ukraine and Russia, who are intermediate. They're not that desperately underdeveloped, because the Soviet Union, of course, did a great job in developing those countries, but still they're underdeveloped compared to Germany and to those highly industrialized countries. And if a person from such a country, doesn't matter from where, a country like Pakistan or country from Africa or South America, but no matter who comes here and looks at us Germans, and they say, oh well, that's the greatest state in the universe, or that is how you ought to live, those Germans, they show us the way, and here everything is so perfectly organized. And yeah, but this organization relies on the criminal roots and basis of capitalism, the criminal bloody accumulation process, power process. That's really one of the most devastating power processes. And okay, they look at us this way, and of course you have to austreiben, es ihnen austreiben, you have to also therefore I have to talk really sharply about Germany and all those NATO alliance states, and say that they're really shithole states. Of course they are rich and have many factories and much wealth, but they're really shithole nations from a moral and political point of view. And China and those other emerging nations, like mainly China, is the most socialist star there in this bright sky. They are totally in the moral right, or they have totally the right to speak up for themselves and form new alliances countering those efforts, the brutal power network, brutal power set of relationships created by the Western states, and also maybe be belligerent against those states if it comes to the worst case. Not talking about Ukraine here, but yeah, you could say that there is, in fact, of course, there are wars that are really senseless, and like in Ukraine should be stopped, but there could also be revolutionary wars, wars inciting a social uprising and a revolution, and could also be a good war from China against the US, for example, to destroy the US-led imperialism and occupy the country, because it's really necessary, I think, that the US be freed from the brutal military regime and be demilitarized. But of course, that's a highly different operation, and it can't be done that easily, such a highly developed, technologically militaristic country. And yeah, but just theoretically, it would be the right thing. It would be great thinking, like, on a large scale into the future also, to what could happen. But okay, now but what am I talking about? I was drifting off, but only to make this point that these girls and boys, and also other genders, of course, but girls and boys from those nations like China, also China is still way behind in terms of wealth to our states here, and they come here or look here and say, oh yeah, here it's all so great. And of course, it's great that you can consume, that you can have more free time here as a worker than in China. Of course, those things are great, but we can't lose focus of the bigger political picture and the state of world affairs. And this means that China is really a socialist state, and it should be supported, the rule over there, and the Communist Party should be supported. But over here in Germany, the government should be brought down sooner or later in the right historical time. It should be brought down, and there should be established a workers' state. And with that, I'm only saying, yeah, it's so complicated that those people, yeah, look here, of course, here everything shines bright. There's no job there, like another roommate from this communal house is from Syria, and he wants to bring his mother and sister also here because there's no chance to find a job in Syria, although the war nearly ended. It's not that bad today as it was years ago, but still the economic situation is so desperate. Also, of course, mainly those Western states are to blame for their power game that caused the death of millions there in the Middle East those last years and decades. But okay, mainly them, of course, also Russia interfered, but Russia compared to the Western state is a minor power, and Russia, maybe it looks more brutal. Yes, of course, what Russia does, because they invade also there in Syria with their airplanes and now in Ukraine with their tanks. But the simple truth is that Western regimes are way more brutal, and they don't look so brutal because they have all the financial powers, and they don't need to use the tanks when they want to go and invade another country and say, oh yeah, that's my country, I want to take this, rip that part. They just can go there with their financial powers, with their bank, with their industry and commerce treaties, and that's a way cleaner way of doing that, of imperializing, establishing an imperial rule over the world. And Russia is now taking some land in Ukraine, okay, some square kilometers, but that's nothing compared to the rule the Western capitalist state, the grab, the stranglehold they have over all the world affairs. And yeah, and I wanted to make this difficult point here that, my God, why can't I make it? Girls today, now switching back to gender relationships. Yeah, I'm talking mainly about boys and girls, men and women, but of course there's more genders, but we can abstract. We can abstract here. Yeah, we can say there's only these two genders for practical reasons. I can't mention every gender every time I speak about, and most people identify as one of those two, so that's good enough for a practical discourse, right? Abstrahieren, abstract. Yeah, we can abstract totally. But talking about that, girls, women are in the inferior position front by society, although, of course, before the law, they are supposedly equal, but it's not the same equality that was reached like in socialist states, like in Soviet Union or East Germany, where women were really brought to the front of the working class and put into those positions in the working place so they could also gain money for themselves, be independent, not depending from a man, and not having to love a man in order to have an economic basis for their lives. And this is also a very romantic thing, if you think about it that way, that only in such a socialist state you could really love, because also in Western Germany, women, they could have been free and liberal, but most people, not just women, most people are like this. There's the certain inertia in our behavior, in our acts. We don't want to change, we don't want to try new things, and that's why the most women don't want to try those new rights they theoretically have and would theoretically be possible to be equal to men. But that doesn't happen for the mass of the people in Western Germany, and only in the East it happened. And what I say here is the way women look up to men is, I want to compare that to the way the southern nations look up to the northern or western NATO nations, and saying, oh yeah, those are really those perfect beings, and their everything runs great. But that, yeah, is also grounded on oppression and on the social frameworks and on the historical development, and it's not such a great thing if you we have to get past this, behind this, I mean, and therefore it can't go on like this forever. I mean, you have to be more belligerent, as I said. Also, women have to be like belligerent, I want to say, against men, and say, attacking them and saying, oh well, the first most important thing out of my perspective would be that women also approach men and say, oh yeah, how are you? What would you like to go out? And all those first steps is always something important in a relationship. Not just in love relationships, also amongst colleagues and friends. And yeah, women have to really take the initiative, because if they don't, they always will be in this inferior position. There, I have a good metaphor, I think. That in chess, which I like now, is the chess championship, world championship, between a Russian and a Chinese player. It's a subtle sign, I think, to where the world power is hopefully shifting, but it's a long way to go. But yeah, in the chess, there's already number one, Russia against China. And in chess, always the white figures start with their first move. And this move is a huge, how do you say, vorteil, advantage for white. And all the game, white is going to be in the driver's seat, as they say in chess, or, well, it's going to be determining the way of the game, the action is going to be attacking. Of course, there's also games where black wins, but statistically, white wins in more cases. White definitely has a big advantage. And just because this one move, because they can do the first step and then black has to react, and then, yeah, it's hard to believe. Of course, if you're not such a trained player, as am I also, I'm not really a chess player, but I like to watch the grandmasters. And yeah, of course, if you're not such an experienced player, there is not this difference if such two players, that are not experienced play against each other. It could be in totally total equilibrium. And also on the highest level, of course, there could be equilibrium. But I'm saying still, statistically, looking at the whole of the whole set of all of chess games, there's a huge advantage for white, and white is always attacking. And yeah, that's what I want to say to girls. You have to grab the initiative, and I don't know what I can do as a man to help you to get there, but I would do anything to do that. But exactly that's the point. What can I do? If I do something, then I'm already again acting up as a man and already taking that first step. So therefore it's so complicated, and we really got to do something. But I can tell you, I just can't tell you what to do. It's you, the girls, who really have to come up with this, there really has to be a big change, I think, in those societal structures, role models. And I also understand that it's difficult, that those fixed role models are simply comfortable. You can lean into it and say, oh yeah, that's my place, that's my role. And yeah, but I have to express this, that this role is not so good for women. It's totally favoring men, because I was a shy guy. I mean, now maybe I'm slowly changing through my podcast, because it's my source of power. Let's say could be also source of femininity. Of course, it's also good to be feminine. Also, as a man, you can feel like this. And I totally feel this way. I want to be more feminine in a way. And yeah, it's simply the source of everything. Speak up, and even if you clear your mind only for yourself, like I do with my private podcasts, this one is an official one, of course, but there's also lots of private stuff I record. Even that already clears one's mind to be speaking there about your life problems, and I recommend it. But okay, let's move on now. Talking about today, this has to be something like a meta episode, reflecting on the metaverse, on the meta level of my podcast. I don't know what this metaverse shit is. It's like something I catched in this other podcast, German podcast, that I criticize so heavily. But I don't even want to hear it. I listen to it again, because feel like I've said everything there is to say about this podcast, and I don't want to really get into their kind of thinking and speaking. And exactly, the speaker determines the way, and therefore I determine here my own way and leave behind those other podcasters. And yeah, this episode number 2, it was so, oh god, so powerful. I only noticed after publishing, oh my god, what was this? and it was also aggressive in a way. I thought, oh man, hopefully this girl I was so in love or enchanted by, and hopefully she doesn't think about me and think that I hate her for these polemic debates on Ukraine, and I totally think about her that she's just a little girl and doesn't think about politics. But that's the point. Most people don't think about politics, and it's exactly okay to be like that. It's too much pressure that democracy puts onto us to say, oh yeah, you have to be also informed and have to have your own opinion. Instead, we can have the Communist Party and invite everyone there, but this is really a small bubble of people who are dedicated and interested in theory, and they dedicate their intellectual life and abilities to studying Marx and the communist classics. And it's not the whole people who has to be like this. Of course, there has to be a general education, but in socialism we can do that. Now, in these reactionary times, I think it's not really a good idea to go out there on all those protest marches out here, and to go there with the idea that you can convince people and tell them, oh yeah, that's the state of the world and we have to do that. No, you have to educate the ones that are already convinced, that are already in this direction, leaning left and sympathizing with communist, socialist ideas. And we have to educate them and tell them about history, about theory. And the most important thing is to tell them that we can't wait on democracy, that we can't wait to make an argument and convince the majority of the people that no, democracy is only a trick for capitalists to stay in power and to humiliate the masses of the people by even giving them the fake impression to be in charge. And yeah, so I wanted to express this, that yeah, not everybody has to be political, and also therefore I didn't talk about those hot topics on the workplace, or felt like I couldn't, or although maybe I should have, because she is such an important person to me, and now it's all complicated because yeah, tomorrow I'm maybe gonna see her again, but I don't know what's gonna be like. And yeah, because of course I wrote her about my podcast, as I told last time, and but didn't speak to her again. But okay, this love letter I read last time, number 4, I think we can close that. We move forward now. And yeah, wanted to express that that also my opinion is not like rock solid. Also in love, you want to be convinced by the other, and you want to bow your head, you want to bow your ideas and opinion to the views of this other person. And I feel totally like this, that I only want to talk to her and explain and whatever, listen to her stories, and I hope we can get past that political stuff. It was intense stuff in this episode. And yeah, it's important also to express that I don't want to die in a fighting for my country, for Germany, and nor do I want the Ukrainians or the Russians to die. And but yeah, her position was simply formed by these capitalist media outlets and the Ukrainian nationalist propaganda. Now, kicking in, of course, after the invasion started, kicking in, Zelensky grabbing power over all the media outlets. I heard about this new law, but okay, even in Germany, of course, it's a very powerful grab on all our heads, the ideological narrow corridor of opinions is restricted, is controlled, and is measured, that if you cross the line, you get called a conspiracy theorist or something like that. And therefore I myself like to call myself a conspiracy theorist, because it's a great thing to come up with a potential conspiracy. And of course there are many real conspiracies, and would be great to expose them, or expose hidden chains of intentions and powers, and the profiteers, like making profit from this war, like in Ukraine now, those big enterprises of that sell oil and gas, and they profited with all the price increases. And yeah, this has to be exposed. But yeah, on the other hand, I feel like this episode number 2 is already beyond that political stuff. Although this was so intense, yeah, intense talking about Ukraine, the soldiers dying, and you should not be loyal to your country, at least to such a capitalist country. Of course, I aim at the revolution and also would like to fight there in such a civil revolutionary war, because that would be really a just war. and this would also be more fun. And that's, I think, the main thing, that those bureaucratic procedures, you get called into the army now in Ukraine, you get a letter. But this is also so boring if you think about it, apart, except that it's also inhumane and murderous. But it's also boring. It's not, what is this? You're defending there a bourgeois country, a capitalist country, for what? That the bourgeois can make his profits, and you as a worker are just treated as shit. And in Ukraine even more, because the labor market there is so bad, even before the war, before the invasion of 22 started. And okay, so it's totally senseless, and it's not a nice experience. And my point is simply, in a revolutionary war, yeah, we would compose our own army as the revolutionaries, the proletarians, guided by the Communist Party, hopefully. We would compose that army, and that would be a lot more fun, would be a lot, yeah, it could be a nice experience. And even if you die there, you can say, oh yeah, at least I fought for a good cause, at least I fought for my beliefs. And yeah, it was all the time of comradeship and all those things. But of course, it's difficult, and not everyone has to fight, not everyone has to be political. And yeah, even I maybe would then rather run away, say, a German Kaltefüße become. And it's normal, of course, we don't want to imagine a war on one hand, but on the other hand, you have to imagine as a Marxist, because on the other, there's no other way, at least I can't imagine another way realistically, to get into a situation where we can establish a workers' state, because the counter-revolutionary forces today are so strong, and it would really need such a big shaking of everything. And okay, so what I was saying is that, yeah, putting all that, yeah, really dark stuff aside, and it's really, yeah, about death, about glory also, yeah, because those people, they can feel glorious, or if you die for Ukraine, you can at least feel like it has some sense. But it's so cruel also that I have to say, no, this is wholly senseless, and yet could be a meaningful action to fight in a revolutionary war, but not in a reactionary war like this. And but I say we are already past this with this episode. Of course, all this political stuff was in there, but this other field was so much stronger. Felt this like a magnetic field. Felt, yes, had simply more power. Oh man, always my computer is making so much noise, but okay, I have to speak louder here. I felt like this was totally an episode with, oh, the love field was, it was crazy, it was simply crazy, I can't explain it. And I think that is the best episode, at least it felt like this was even better than the first one in English. But okay, my performance then dropped sharply after I played Eminem, but that's understandable. And just this Eminem song and all everything I said, and all the intensity with that I was speaking, yeah, this was, wow, can't imagine what this really is. And yeah, I was triggered by her, as I said, because felt provoked by her, the way she was talking, and why aren't you talking to me? And then this week on Thursday, when I published it, exactly there was the same situation at work. I heard her there talking to the other colleague, and I felt provoked and felt like, my God, why aren't you talking to me? And therefore, I went home and I thought, didn't even think, but felt like, yeah, this is the normal thing now. This is the adequate thing. I should publish this episode. And okay, this episode. And then I After that I felt a little crazy, but it was also okay because yeah, it's what I do, and I feel like, oh yeah, I've exposed myself to her. But in love, it's maybe like this Slovenian philosopher, like very much Slavoj Žižek, wrote that you have to not care about what your lover thinks about you. This made a lot of sense because you have to feel what you feel and yeah, be true to that. But you can't always ask yourself, well, what is this beloved person thinking? Yeah, I feel like it's more problematic to think about all the other listeners, what they could be thinking. Also, this other Ukrainian co-worker, in case she's listening, I greet her warmly and say that I also don't have any resentments against her because she was the one that explained all this war to me from her perspective. And yeah, she was, she spoke, I admire how she spoke with a tone, with a conviction that she spoke about all this. And she was very patriotic, of course, formed by this nationalistic media in Ukraine, and I totally understand that, and just want to say to her that she's so young, and it would be so stupid to point the finger to her from my point of view and say that she's doing anything wrong. I just want to express my own opinion and say, yes, my opinion is a little little antagonistic to hers. Supporting Ukraine and saying, yeah, we will fight back and win back the territories. But it's, of course, understandable. And I make this podcast also for you and all those young people that come here or are all over the world to educate them. And yeah, especially for young people in those poorer, more underdeveloped countries, because they have a bigger chance to create the revolutionary spark in their own countries. Because here in Germany, we are so fucked, I might say, because it's a old country, people are very old, getting older and older, less young people because the birth rate is dropping, of course, always in those rich countries, and therefore also this creates the mental this creates a situation where politics and politicians, they direct themselves with their speeches, with their discourses. They are aiming at those older generations and are covering mostly the topics that concern them. And this also leads to a mindset, a very, you could say, naive mindset. And it's hard to explain, but I think that here in Germany there will occur revolution, but just the chances are so much lower than in other countries, and we can't wait that much. Maybe also as German communists we should consider emigrating and saying, yeah, but to where? I mean, it's not enough to have one big country like China, but there have to be more revolutionary sparks that have to be inflamed or created around the world. That's my point, clear and simple, and therefore I'm speaking to you, and your opinions more valuable, or yeah, your reception even more valuable than of those Germans, because the Germans are boneheads, or yeah. And that I wanted to express also to all the Ukrainians that feel maybe antagonized by my words. Words. So moving on, but should I even move on? That's the big question. I'm in a liberal state. I mean, liberal state, of course, the political state here, Germany, but also I think, of course, I'm not a big fan of liberalism, which is the surrounding theory justifying this democratic capitalist rule. But in the US, in America, it's used a little differently, and they say liberalism for like leftism, for lefties. But that's not really adequate for the European discourse. Of course, there's no right point of view. Every culture has its own perspective, and that's the important thing, that here we are very Western-centric in a way of looking at history. And what I tell about Stalin and the Bolsheviki, it might also not be the whole truth, but it's the truth from another standpoint, from another point of view, from point of view maybe from Moscow or from Beijing. And I'm transforming myself to those cities and looking at history from there, because it seems it seems closer to the truth, although the truth maybe is something you can't really reach. And I'm in a liberal state now, so yeah, it's so difficult to switch perspectives, and we're so not locked into our own perspective here. And if those Western states are the most powerful, then the media rule on the perspectives on history will always be guided by that. Oh no, the Bolsheviks, of course, were bad because they threaten the capitalist rule. We have to tell the mass of the people that that's totally wrong, totally immoral, and that were totally murderous. And we here in the West, no, we don't do that, like, kind of shit like murdering people. And okay, it's totally a naive baby discourse, I like to say, because yeah, as a baby, maybe might have also small mental capabilities, but also those older people. So I don't want to insult them, but it's as a matter of fact, also in chess, always the younger players are the best, and those older people can't really play chess at the highest level. And yeah, also this explains a lot about the state of ideological affairs here in Germany, and why this is all so reactionary. It's a la-la land, it's an irony land. Nobody takes this political stuff serious. They all just want to be part of the crowd and be recognized from the other members of their bubble, and saying, oh yeah, we are totally on the right side, we're against Putin, and we're standing with Ukraine, and we're on the moral side. But what are you doing? You're really justifying the killings of those people, because you're saying to Ukraine, you have to keep on fighting, you're on the right side, and there's no space for considering peace talks if you would have to lose that land. And yeah, also those Germans who are saying this to Ukraine, they're total scumbags. And I say this because in Germany you are in a more powerful land. You can lean back and could think about everything, and the Ukrainians are just slaves of their government. They are much weaker in a way, and therefore I don't want to insult any Ukrainian, and just hope this gets through right. But okay, so I'm in the liberal state, but liberalism maybe in personal life isn't as bad as in politics. Because a liberal state is what I feel like is the state I need to be in, to be in the creative zone that my mind can wander off and drift off and really take off. And I feel like that's the thing where I want to get to. And yeah, about now let's come to this most difficult question. What is going to happen between this girl I'm thinking all the time about and me? I don't know if we can maybe have a conversation tomorrow, but I also feel like totally maybe I can't even do it because I'm doomed, I'm shaking. And if she would come to me and talk to me now, after all I've said, it was a lot and maybe too much I said, it's now inhibiting me even more, and I would feel like I would drop there right at the spot and be like, total knockout if she just came to me and looked to me. And but exactly, I want to wait for her, because we have to bring women into those positions where they can be strong and maybe feel even how strong they are. I mean, if I would drop there and be knocked out, it would be also good to show her how much power she can have over men. and therefore that she should use that power. But okay, and I was creating this theory now for fostering my self-consciousness, self-determinance, that you have to take it slow in love, or maybe everywhere in everything. Take it slow, because capitalism, this treadmill, is leading us to feel like everything's running so fast and I have to catch up. I have to catch up with my competitors at the workplace, or my friends are also competitors, or also my roommates. I feel like this is a strange thought, but it's in this communal house. I felt like, oh yeah, they're also competitors. I want to live a better life than they, and I want to be like, it's totally strange, but I need to get into this kind of thinking, because I need to expose the ideological mechanisms of today's liberalism, and therefore I have to be a little stupid or be a little weird also. But okay, because this is so stupid and weird, this liberalism, it's totally making us ill. And yeah, it would be so nice to live together with other people and share your capabilities, your work force, your working capacity. Share that freely. That's the idea of communism, that there you wouldn't even need laws. It could be all organized spontaneously, but in order to get there, we need a preparation phase of socialism organized by the Communist Party. And yeah, this phase could drag on sometime, like in Soviet Russia, still after 70 years they were in this phase. But that's totally normal, because it's the sluggish human behavior, the inertia. We don't want to change. And on the biggest stage, I mean, on the political stage, it's the same, of course, that one doesn't want to change. Or the politicians are also just humans. It means exceptional visionaries, like Lenin was, and Stalin to a certain degree, but he wasn't the kind of visionary like Lenin. But of course, he had other abilities that were even more valuable in this phase, for example, in the fight against fascism. Maybe even more valuable to have such a strong personality, who is a real worker, a real organizer, a real people's person who can speak. Not being such a brilliant orator like Lenin and speaking to the masses, but I think Stalin had his talent really there, of getting to people, speaking to them, organizing, I think being very, very precise, and yeah. And it's always this kind of thing. Look, now I'm talking about Stalin, but what am I thinking? I'm thinking, oh yeah, I have to also to talk about that Stalin also murdered people and all this. But no, I don't have to talk about it, because it's a total double standard. Because also I, as a communist and forming myself to be a communist, also I'm so ruled and dominated by this liberal media and liberal historical outlook, because yeah, I can't get by this murder stuff and saying, oh yeah, this was so bloody. And yeah, I don't deny there were also those dark epochs, but those were also present in the politicians as Churchill or as Angela Merkel. She also sends her troops there to Afghanistan to kill people. And also but Churchill, let's stay with him, he killed a million people or more in India. And there was a famine, a hungersnot, famine, and well, his comment was, well, if so many people died, why did Gandhi not die? Well, it's only one episode, but it shows that also he's to blame for much more than Stalin, because he was the politician at the top of a bourgeois regime. And yeah, even there you can't blame the politicians, because they're only carrying out the needs of their system. And so is also Stalin carrying out the needs of a socialist state, and the state is keeps on existing and keeps on fighting against fascism and against counter-revolutionaries. And the same for Churchill, but the difference is that it's way more brutal and colonizing other countries and this doesn't happen in Soviet Union. It was a brotherly state, and there were so many problems with ethnicities, but at least there were no wars in that sense, like now between Russia and Ukraine, two capitalist states like today. And yeah, it was really a grassroots movement. It was the first blossom of this path of socialism that has to be gone further, has to be explored further in the future. That's our task now, is today, communists. But okay, now, so yeah, I wanted to expose that to say how that also I'm so ruled, and I would think or speak about Churchill or about Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of Germany after the war, and talk about them, and I would never think about that they have blood on their hands. But they have, in fact. This is the thing. Of course they have blood on their hands. Of course there are murderers, killers, and they're representing this brutal regime and executing its necessities. And yeah, but because I'm so formed also by this whole outlook on history, it's very deep cognitive thing, entity or pattern. Yeah, it's a pattern that the name of Stalin pops up and you think, oh my god. And yeah, and I only want to add this, that I feel like for younger generations, when talking to them about communism, they don't have much of a problem with, maybe they didn't even hear about it, but I don't think that's the reason, that they don't criticize communism so much for being so bloody and for creating so much terror. No, but they criticize it for being a thing that is too unrealistic and is just dreaming. And it's the older generations, they feel really like communism is terrorism and is so bloody, and it's the same as Hitler. Yeah, that's exactly the stupid outlook on history that a normal person here in Germany would have, as my father told me once. But I don't want to insult my father, he's just a representation of all of Germany. And the proof that this high-sounding discourse about fascism, about Nazis, that I talked about earlier on the previous episodes, is totally bullshit. It's totally leading people into exactly this, of equating Hitler and Stalin, saying, oh yeah, it's all the same. And this is so bullshit. I mean, if you're gonna say this, then just don't say or don't think anything about fascism. It would be better than to come to this conclusion. You're totally tearing apart the historical fight of Bolsheviks against Nazis, and you're spitting on the graves of those brave soldiers that fought there in Ukraine and Russia and Belarus, and all those countries that were invaded by Nazis. You're spitting on their graves if you're saying a thing like this, that Bolshevism was the same or was as brutal or as immoral as fascism. Okay, and yeah, you're totally also a fascist, I might say. But okay, I'm moving on now. Yeah, but what else is there to say? Tomorrow going back there, and I say, yeah, take it slow. That's what I tell myself, because as a boy, as a man, you are in this active position. You're told to be active, to go after the women and hunt them and make the first step in this. But this is not so good for women, mostly, but also, of course, for boys who are too shy, like I was earlier. I never talked really to women. And but I think now, yeah, you shouldn't feel this way, always being in a treadmill and thinking, oh no, I have no time, this has to be done. And it also has to do with monogamy, of course, monogamy, the idea you can only love one person, this wrong idea. Well, in my opinion, it's the wrong idea. And it has to do with that, as you think, oh yeah, it has to be one person, but this one person, I feel this connection now to this person. But what could happen if she met another one and then she'd be gone? It would be totally the opportunity would be missed and gone, and the chance would be gone. But no, this is exactly the thing. I like to be polyamorous, also to be slow and say, oh no, there's no pressure, because there's already enough pressure. I mean, you feel it, you hear it. And this episode number 2 that I published, yeah, it's totally like this total pressure, and it has to get out. But it's also romantic, I think, that a man can express that, yeah, it's a woman gives him the feeling that he has to be the biggest and greatest, and there's no way around it. And I don't care what all of the world would think about me, but just if you could look at me, and yeah, it's always like feeling like those women, this one special woman, of course, and also my ex-girlfriend now, but women in general, sometimes they give me the feeling like this, yeah, it's, you have to be the greatest. And this is the thing, you feel so accelerated then, when a woman looks like looks at you like this, and then you feel like, oh yeah, I have to do 1,000 things, I have to demonstrate this and that and that. But that's not even so good, I might recommend here to men, and also to women. Once they get into this active position, they also have to be the hunters and hunting for men. But here, this tip of mine, it's a tip from me, that maybe it's better to go take it slow and not, and yeah, allowing yourself to take it slow and not thinking about this, oh yeah, this special person could be gone, and I have to do 1,000 things, and I have to do it right now. And no, because it's such a difficult operation to slip into this new love feeling. And it's also good to prolong it, to enjoy it longer. Of course, it's also painful now, be separate from a person you feel like you should be together with, or you have this big yearning, yearning, you're right, craving also, like for a drug, yearning. And yeah, but still take it slow, and because there you can feel, you can think about this difficult operation and how difficult it really is. Like in this Eminem song, like he's saying, yeah, you want them when they don't want you. As soon as they do, feelings change. It appears so interesting what is far from our reach. And yeah, I think I can read that, because it's so beautiful that I think, yeah, I should maybe read. Read the lyrics. Maybe this I can do at the end of the podcast. And I mentioned the other song by Eminem last episode 4, but that's not the point. Let's speak about this episode 2, the special one, really. And taking it slow, so like those 3 months now that lay between the recording and publication, yeah, it's a slow process, because it seems like this is such a big thing up there, high on the hill, is shining this bright object, that you dream about, you aspire, crave for this relationship, and for being in their arms, lying in the arms of your lover and kissing and caressing is a nice word I found this week. I was writing up a love poem, I think, yeah. Caressing is like harassment. It's a slippery slope between harassing and caressing. And therefore I think to look at that high mountain and imagine what's really up there, yeah, maybe take it slow, but also not too slow, because then you always want to just sit there and look at it like it's in the future, like it could happen someday, and oh yeah, it's so nice to think about it, but not be confronted with the reality and saying, oh yeah, no, Now, what is this reality going to be? Is it going to be that bright as I imagine, or is it going to be even brighter and it's going to be too much to me for taking, or is it going to fail and this relationship will show that it's not possible? There are fights and yeah, and this is my thesis at this end, that yeah, love is really when you get into a liberal state, but then you also have to know how to take it slow and say, oh yeah, especially to men, I would also recommend this in today's reactionary framework. You can also wait for, well, yeah, you have to make the first step, because if not, nothing will happen. Women, or most women, it's staggering how many women are clinging on to those old patterns, but yeah, most of them, but not all, of course, but still you have to make the first steps, but then maybe you can wait if she would also make some steps. And yeah, this is exactly what I did, but I don't even know if it was so good now, but okay. And yeah, what can I say now? Nothing more, I think. I've talked myself, I've emptied myself, and this I recommend to women especially, that you have to empty yourself. Because men, it's always so simple, so straightforward. This theory I have is that, yeah, the genitals, the sexual organs, they also form our view of how we perceive ourselves in the world. And men sees, oh yeah, I have this positive thing, it's just something, and it gives me the strength that I represent something. I'm a real man, and I have to go there. And also society tells me that, yeah, men are like this, are strong. And women feel like, oh yeah, this is, I have this vagina. And the vagina is a great thing. Also, what I said last time, it's kind of sounds like imagination. And you could think about it like this. It's an source of imagination and, yeah, the power. But what I mean is that there, this simple biological forms, they occupy our mind and they paralyze our mind and make us think, or make women maybe think, that they are less than men and that they are missing something and that they can't be a full person without a man. And yeah, this is totally wrong, of course. But also in love, you also yearn for, yeah, being complete with the other person. And also men like me, of course, feels that I'm not complete without my lover. And what I wanted to say earlier about socialist countries, that they established the right to love in those countries, really, because women were not forced to love men. I mean, as a man, in those earlier patriarchal at times, what would you think, if does this woman really love me for what I am, or is she only loving me because she has to find a husband to survive economically and socially, also because it's the normal thing for women to do? But no, in socialist countries, women can choose and can also stay single. And if they love a man, that's really because of their decision, and this makes love, of course, so much greater and so much equal. And yeah, and I think that's the thing I was keen to express today. And now I can read out this lyrics by Eminem Spacebomb, because it's really beautiful, and feels so lucky that the YouTube algorithm propose that to me. It's not all bad what capitalism does. Of course, there are good things like YouTube, all those musical pieces, of course, all created by capitalism, because there is really no outside of capitalism. It's everything. Even China relies on capitalist economic principles. And yeah, there's really no outside. It's all one big bubble. Inside is an integrated world. Just the wrong way integrate, not in a socialist way. And yeah, let's read that out. Spacebound. We touch, I feel a rush. We clutch, it isn't much, but it's enough to make me wonder what's in store for us. It's lust, it's torturous, you must be a sorceress, cause you just did the impossible, gained my trust. Don't play games, it'd be dangerous if you'd fuck me over, cause if I get burned, I'ma show you what it's like to hurt. Cause I've been treated like dirt before you, and love is evil, spell it backwards, I'll show you. Nobody knows me, I'm cold, walk down this road all alone. It's no one's fault but my own, it's the path I've chosen to go. Frozen in the snow, I show no emotion whatsoever, so don't ask me why I have no love for these motherfucking hoes. Blood-sucking succubuses, what the fuck is up with this? I've tried in this department, but I ain't had no luck with this. It sucks, but it's exactly what I thought it would be like. Trying to start over, I've got a hole in my heart for some kind of emotional roller coaster. Something I won't go on, so you toy with my emotion, oh, it's over. It's like an explosion every time I hold you. Wasn't joking when I told you, you'd take my breath away. You're a supernova, and I'm a space-bound rocket ship. Your heart's the moon, and I'm aiming right at you, right at you. 250,000 miles on a clear night in June, and I'm aiming right at you, right at you. And this is the crucial part that comes now. This is my favorite part of all the song, I think. I'll do whatever it takes. When I'm with you, I get the shakes. My body aches when I ain't with you. I have zero strength. There's no limit on how far I would go. No boundaries, no length. Why do we say that until we get that person that we think's gonna be the one? And then once we get him, it's never the same. You want them when they don't want you. As soon as they do, feelings change. It's not a contest, and I ain't no conquest for no mate. I wasn't looking when I stumbled onto you. Must have been fate, but so much is at stake. What the fuck does it take? Let's cut to the chase, for the door shuts in your face. Promise me if I cave in and break and leave myself open that I won't be making a mistake. Cause I'm a space-bound rocket ship and your heart's the moon. And I'm aiming right at you, right at you. 250,000 miles on a clear night in June. I'm aiming right at you, right at you. So after a year and 6 months, it's no longer me that you want. But I love you so much it hurts, never mistreated you once. Also this effect. But yeah, let's go on. Interesting turn here. I'll pour my heart out to you, let down my guard, swear to God. I'll blow my brains in your lap, lay here and die in your arms. Drop to my knees and I'm pleading, I'm trying to stop you from leaving. You won't even listen, so fuck it, I'm trying to stop you from breathing. I put both hands on your throat, I sit on top of you squeezing, till I snap your neck like a popsicle stick. It ain't a possible reason I can think of to let you walk up out this house and let you live. Tears stream down both my cheeks, then I'll let you go and just give. And before I put that gun to my temple, I told you this. And I would've did anything for you to show you how much I adore you. But it's over now, it's too late to save our love. Just promise me you think of me every time you look up in the sky and see the star. Cause I'm a space-bound rocket ship, your heart's the moon. And I'm aiming right at you. 250,000 miles on a clear night in June, and I'm so lost without you, without you, without you. Exactly. What I thought in this third strophe, the third, I don't know what this is in English, doesn't matter, but after the second chorus comes the third strophe. And in those verses, I thought, yeah, but it'd be more interesting to imagine, right, what happens if you, yourself, the lyrical me, would stop loving this person. Because, yeah, imagining your lover could stop and could love another one, that's always a possibility, and always you could say, oh, yeah, but my love is so pure for you, and, oh, you are totally guilty of this. But, yeah, I think this lyrics hold more more interesting and more really concerning and so emotionally, emotionally whatever. But I think the first and the second one are more interesting in this way. It's exactly this part. I'll do whatever it takes. There's no limit on how far I would go, no boundaries, no length. And why do we say that until we get that person that we think is going to be the one? And then once we get them, it's never the same. And yeah, exactly. This, of course, could remind me also of my ex-girlfriend, but never mind. I feel like, yeah, this is exactly the chance and the challenge with polyamory, but not with polyamory, also in normal love, in monogamous love. I mean, you always relationships end, and you kind of ask yourself, how is this possible? And therefore, I have this solution, polyamory, that you could still feel like you love the other person, but of course it's ambiguous. Now I feel this, oh man, I'm so guilty, because not because of my actions, but because of my feelings, because what I feel that this other person is so interesting, and provokes me, as I said, and leads to this violent outbreaks like in the podcast. And my girlfriend, of course, I love her, but this love is more established already. I know her for over a year. I've known her, and now we're separated already several months. But I've known her, and there's still this love, but it's a different kind of love. And I just think you're never going to solve those love issues if you want to lock yourself in a monogamous relationship. And it's always gonna hurt to even think that another person could be attractive to your lover, or that my girlfriend had other boyfriends before me and that I could also be jealous to them. This is exactly the, I think I mentioned that in episode 4 last time, is exactly the same feeling. It doesn't matter if it's in the past or in the present, this betrayal, emotional betrayal, this love, affection, feelings for a third person. It doesn't matter when it took place, or if it's even just imaginary that you're jealous, but jealousy is always like this and always gives you a sting, and always, that's therefore how to handle this topic. That's my big question. Maybe you can answer it, dear listeners, but I maybe can't, because I don't have the strength to go to all those lengths today. All I can say is that I feel like it's so committed now to those two girls, also my ex-girlfriend, because I don't know, maybe we could save that relationship even. And want to move forward slowly. I mean, you don't have to love 1,000 people at a time. But this last episode I published, number 2, also of course gave me a strength, and this feeling of strength that it could be that this Ukrainian girl would reject me totally, would be painful, and then but then still I have the strength, maybe I can record another episode for another girl and can fall in love with, and it'd be no problem. And this is the thing I want to highlight, that men are in a better, more sovereign position because of this. Of course, I'm in a special position as a podcaster, I have this special instrument, but doesn't mind. Let's say podcasting is a male dominant, is a symbol also of masculinity, because you dare to speak up, you're so blunt. Like men, they always think it's interesting what they have to tell, they don't have no problems, like women being sure that what you want to say is really that important and that crucial, and people want to listen to you. And men are, this is term mansplaining, explaining to women. And but I say this is totally unfair, but women would have to womensplain and say, I can talk like a woman, and I can explain to you, and it's totally important what I have to tell, and I know everyone's going to listen. And you have to get into this, because women are in the inferior place. You can just listen to what the man says. And also this special girl from Ukraine, also I thought maybe she would feel like insecure because of this one episode, this episode number two. Because if, let's say, if she also could feel something for me, that could also be those emotions. But then she would think, oh yeah, this guy, he's so strong. I mean, he can talk so much, and he could talk to any girl. He could record a podcast for anyone. And is he gonna love me even after some time? But I tell you, yeah. Of course, I'm polyamorous in this way, but I also think you shouldn't fall in love with too many people, because then it gets too complicated. And also thinking about sex, you can't have sex really that much. It's a really strong desire, of course, and also there's always this curiosity towards other people, and I think it would be good to also share essential basis of our lives with other people, and even people who you're not feeling love feelings for, but maybe you want this adventure and want to have sex or share other gestures and gentle actions. And yeah, this could be, but also too much is just not possible. I mean, how much is really enough is the question. Yeah, this is the question, and I think this, you can't answer it by naming some quantity and saying two or three or whatever, and or yeah, 100 sex partners in your life. I don't think you can express it in terms of quantity, but that in terms of difference, that you always feel you want, you're curious, there's another person with other characteristics calling you, provoking you, calling your attention, and yeah, it's difficult to think that in a relationship, in a love relationship, you can love each other so much that you can even think that your lover could have other needs, and you could also be a good and sane thing for the relationship to have some time where you're separated and you have some time for yourself, or maybe for yourself and other friends or other affairs, other lovers. And yeah, could be a, yeah. But how do you create value, this difference? This difference. Now, all this time of not talking to this Ukrainian girl because of some problems or whatever, she rejected my communist podcast when I first told her about it. And said, no, communism is not so good because of what her parents and grandparents told her. And yeah, but still this felt good in a way. Of course, it feels also so painful to not be talking to her, and like I expressed last time. But also good because it's hardening and it's galvanizing this feeling I feel, and making me feel like, oh yeah, my God, this is going to be hard to break. It's even too much, I feel already. We have to find a solution to that situation, right? Get back to, I don't know, talking again. Because if not, this is too much, and it's also too slow. You can't go infinitely slow. I mean, yeah. You have to at least go one step after another. And this is too romantic. If you're separated and thinking about each other and this stuff, this is too romantic, this is stupid, this is not the real thing. The real thing has to do also with material. As a materialist, of course, Marxism is about materialism, that the material basis of our lives determines all our actions and thoughts and our self-explanations. Ideologies like religion, they all are formed based upon the material production of goods and every day things that we need to survive. we think we need to survive. Like, I need this podcast to survive, right? I wouldn't be right. My mind wouldn't be right without it. And I feel like, I'm glad I recorded this episode. And maybe feel a little more relaxed for this day tomorrow, big day. And I think I've said it all, right? What much more can I say? Not really much more. No. And with that, I thank you for your courage and say in the morning or in the evening, as it's evening here when I record this, it's Sunday, 23rd of April. And we all are just small people, and we wouldn't even exist without the other people around us that are also manufacturing, producing goods, are also small workers. And so I tell you, dear listeners, to all of you, I say, maybe you feel now so small and little because you say, oh yeah, this guy, he's so great. He's the greatest guy, greatest podcaster in the universe. He can speak his mind, and I, what can I really do? But every person has a special talent, a gift, and I recommend you that you really, the crucial thing is this materialism, this gift and talent. It can't be just in the ideal sphere, in the mental sphere. You really have to execute it and train yourself, and it doesn't matter even if it's just speaking to yourself, like I'm here and nobody cares about it. It's still a good training, and you should do that and find where you have a special talent. It can be also in a capitalist work, because the work is still something great, even if the fruits of our work are appropriated then again unrightfully by those bourgeois capitalists who are totally exploiting and treating us really badly. So we should get angry, and that's what I do here. I want to incite also, on the one hand, educate the communist elite, but on the other hand also speak to the masses, maybe someday, maybe a little, to the people, and say, we have to educate and incite you also, turn your anger against your masters, because if not, the anger is going to turn inward. You're gonna think of yourself like, I'm to blame, and I'm this small person, can't do anything. And this I wanted to tell you is my last thought, that also I, although maybe it appears as I'm such a great person, no, also I can't do anything without this computer and this microphone and this house here. I wouldn't be able to record this podcast, but not only that, to even think the thoughts I have. I need all the books I read, the education, the school system I could enjoy, and all this formed me, and I wouldn't be able to do any step and take any step if it was not for society. And so, of course, capitalist societies, they have good features, but still so brutal. And we here in Germany are on the sunny side, sunny, really sunny. And I'm a sunny boy, I must say, and with that, I really say, and good night, good luck, and good night. Bye bye.